Well, thank you, Sister Johnson. I'm glad he's mine. I'm very glad that I am his. Amen. And that's where you get the full pardon and the salvation Sister Johnson was singing about. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. This morning, it's our privilege to have someone that needs no special introduction to our church, Brother Walt Shepherd. Brother Shepherd, I think, was called to preach out of our midst here, and he and his wife Lynn wound up after Bible college being up in Findlay, Ohio, and starting a church from just zero. I stand amazed. I joked at them a little bit. I think they just advertised and knocked doors and rented a place and waited to see if anybody'd show up. And that's the way they started. And my, what a great church God has built up there in Findlay. One of the places they rented, I joked with them about, was actually a dog kennel. I went up there and Walt said, "We're meeting at a dog kennel." I said, "You've gone to the dogs this quick." But he's done a great job, and God has used he and Lynn, and their family has grown as well as the church now. We're glad to have them, and we've asked Walt to bring the message this morning. He's very knowledgeable on things and many trips to Israel and serving the Lord in so many ways, and we appreciate that we can say we had a little bit of the part of his early ministry. I had a landmark here. So, Walt, thank you come on and preach to us this morning, please.
Thank you, preacher. God bless you, preacher. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7. It's not a wise thing to leave Ohio in summertime and come down to Florida, but we were trying to escape the heat. It is hot up there. It didn't work out too well, but we are glad to be here. It's been good to be back at Landmark. And choir, thank you for singing. It's a blessing to hear you sing and actually smile when you sing. I'd like to see that and just enjoy the countenances and the blessings and the special music. We appreciate Miss Johnson. And I think the Baswardi, I think the family that was singing, I think I know them from college. My wife and I are trying to place them. And so maybe after church we can kind of reconnect. I think we remember you from back in the days. And good to have you here. And it takes an act of Congress to get out of town. It really does. And especially with the farm, we have a little bit of a zoo at our house, honestly. And a donkey, a dairy cow, a dairy cow calf, a steer, a couple of pigeons, 12 or 18 chickens, two cats, and it goes on. We had a couple goats and finally got rid of those things last week. That was a blessing. We bought those to clear out a pasture, and they did not respect the electric fence. And so in addition to the $275 that we had to pay for the goats, we had to add more money to get the fence beefed up, only to find out that they walked right through that fence. You ever not like an animal? So we added more money to it, and then my wife said, we need to find out what kind of voltage our fence is putting out, so we got one of those voltage testers, and I found out that the fence was only putting out 600 volts. And I said, oh, well, we got to fix this. And about 2 or 3 hours later, we got that fence pushing out probably close to 5,000 volts of electricity. Wow. You ever get excited when someone or an animal that you don't like gets hurt? Just being honest with you, okay? So anyway, put that thing in there, and that goat came through that fence. It looked like Michael Jackson on steroids, man. There's something about that was joyful. So anyway, we found that that didn't work either. So anyway, we actually gave them to someone in the church. Here, take these things from me. But it is an act of Congress to get out of town, but it's good to be here, good to be back at Landmark, and I appreciate you, preacher. Yes, this is where everything started. I sat on the front row, or sometimes the second row, but mostly on the front row, and coming right from where I was to the church pew, and then later on to ministry, and it all started here. We appreciate Landmark, appreciate the folks here. I can't thank you enough. This is a revival for me, just coming back and seeing the church is not changed, and the people are still here, still smiling, still serving. It is a real blessing to us. It really is. Matthew chapter 7, we'll just take a few minutes here. Matthew chapter 7. And Lord, give us liberty tonight. We may go a little bit to prophecy tonight. We'll just see how that works. If preacher feels a liberty to have us preach tonight, we'll do that. But Matthew chapter 7, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And he's finishing up here. Jesus is speaking in verse number 13. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." You pray with me and for me this morning. Father, we thank you for the subjects that's before us today. We thank you, Lord, for these that are here. Lord, it's good to be in the house of God. It's good to be where, Lord, your people are gathered together the first of the week. I pray that God you touch us and help us and strengthen us with the scriptures today. I pray if there's one that does not know you as Savior, Lord, that they would come to know what it is to be forgiven. And Lord, come from a way that's leading to destruction. And give us grace, Lord, to all of us, Lord, that are following you, and all those that here this morning that are saved, Lord, Lord, to be encouraged, knowing that there is a way, Lord, that we're on that is a blessing because it leads to life. So bless these that are here. Thank you for the time you're giving us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord here is summarizing life. The lifetime of man, and he summarizes it with a couple of things. He says you're either on one way or the other. I like the Lord makes it very simple. He doesn't complicate it. He makes it very simple, and there's two distinct different directions that man goes. And I know many people say there's many ways to God, but there's only one, and there's only one way to hell. And but you'll find that there's only two roads that people take. The Lord makes that very clear. There's one that is called, as the Bible says in verse number 13, it's a straight gate, and then there's a wide gate. And the broad way is the way that leads to destruction in verse number 13. And so he's got a very simple lesson. He says you're either on the one way, which is broad, or the one way that is narrow. Two ways. And then he says these ways are leading to different destinations. One is going to be destruction, and one is going to lead to life. And so you'll find here this morning that he's going to summarize this and boil life down to these two very distinct ways. Now, I guess the subject, if we want to preach and make a title for this, would be "Get Off the Road." I know many of you may have said that to someone this week or when you travel, but the Lord wants us to get off the broad way and get onto the narrow way, and that's what he's speaking here, finishing up this Sermon on the Mount. Now, you all know this, and this is a profound statement, I think it is, that wherever you go, that's where you're going to go. whatever road you get on, that road is going to take you a certain direction. And in other words, you can't go to North Carolina if you want to go south from here, nor can you go to Key West if you want to go north from here. It is solely based on which direction that you go on where you're going to end up. And so you find here he gives us two possible directions that people take in their lifetime. And this one, of course, that he shares here, and you understand where we're at today, we're surrounded by the uncertainty of life all the time. We have no idea when we go out these doors what is down the road. We have no idea what will befall our country this week. We have no idea what will take place in our family this week. The Bible says in the book of Job, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And so you find that man has an uncertain future in this lifetime. We really don't know what tomorrow may bring. We don't know that. But there is only two roads that we're on. And since we're going to leave this world, and since we're being reminded of the uncertainty of life all the time, I think it's necessary for every person this morning, under the sound of this voice of mine, to know which road they're on, which path they're on, which, if you would, way they're on. And so he goes into some detail here on the directions that people take. In verse number 13, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Now watch this phrase here. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way. It's a very interesting phrase that the Lord is describing this one way. This broad way, this way that is described as a way that's spacious. There's a lot of room on this way. In other words, Jesus says there's a spacious road that people can go on. It's a spacious road. This is broad road that he's showing, that he's conveying, that it's wide open. In other words, there's a lot of people on this road. In fact, he uses the word many. And so it's a road, in other words, anything goes on this road. It's the broad way. You can do anything you want to do on the broad way. You can carry all the baggage of your sins that you want to carry on the broad way. You can live like you want on the broad way. You can call the shots and make all the rules you want to make for yourself on the broad way. You can be the king of the road on the broad way. If you're a man, you can go into a woman's bathroom on the broad way. And if you're a woman, you can go into a man's bathroom on the broad way. And men can carry men and marry men, and women can marry women on the broad way. And if you're a man, you can think you're a woman on the broad way. And if you're a woman, you can think you're a man on the broad way. If you're a human, you can think you're even an animal on the broad way, because anything goes. There's no absolutes. Everything is relative, and anyone can do anything they want on the broad way. In fact, anyone can think that whatever is right is right on the broad way. There is no moral absolutes. You can live your life to the fullest on the broad way. You can go where you will. You can do what you will. It's your life. You call the shots. It's an easy way to live, because there's no one to please but yourself on the broad way. You can dance on the broad way. You can smoke on the broad way. You can go to the church of your choice on the broad way. You can chew, you can take drugs, there's basically room for about anyone on the broad way. There's no rules, there's no restraints, there's no boundaries, and everyone has to have an open mind on the broad way. Can't have a narrow mind. They don't like preachers, by the way, on the broad way. They don't like anyone to tell them what is right and what is wrong on the broad way. They don't care for the Bible on the broad way. But no one is allowed to tell you that your lifestyle and where you're going is wrong on the broad way. It's the broad way. It's a spacious way. And the Lord's making this very clear that this is very large. It's a gate, and it's spacious. Spacious. There's a sinister side of the Broadway that they don't want you to know about. There's a sinister side of those that are open-minded and those pleasure seekers that they fail to mention as they're traveling in unity down this Broadway. And that is, they're not really in control of themselves. See, the Bible says very clearly in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, it says, "Then you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And so this course, very clearly mentioned in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, is not being controlled by the mob, not being controlled by the many, not being controlled by the open-minded, seeking pleasure people. No, it's being controlled by a spirit or a power. The Bible makes reference to a prince. And so the sinister side of this is that, no, they're not really in control of their life. They're actually being controlled by a spirit. They're actually being controlled by a prince. They're being controlled by a power, and that power rests authoritatively on Satan. So they're not in control. They're not walking their own course. They're not walking the course that they think they're directing. They're walking a course that's being directed and orchestrated by Satan. But it's occupied by many that are going the same way. Many that are going the same way with no concern. In other words, if you get with the Broadway and you're in the Broadway, which, by the way, when you're born into the Broadway. There's no such thing as a crossroads. When you're born into sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore, death pass upon all men, for all have sinned. We're born on the Broadway. And so the Broadway is very interesting, because the Broadway is leading to destruction. It's leading to sorrow. It's leading to ultimate hell. But many with no concern of where it's going are basically asking each other, where are we going? I don't know. I don't know. I'm here because someone else is here. Why are we here? I don't know. We're just headed down the road. And hey, can you ask the guy ahead of us where we're going? Does anyone care where we're going? No, we just shut up. We don't care about that. We're all the Broadway. It's collectivism. Yeah. We're just moving forward. Yeah. The dangerous, dangerous place to be. My son and I, we went to a conference a couple of years ago, and both of us, I said, I'd like to see it too. We were not too far from Hollywood, California. And I said, there's something in my mind, I just want to see what the bed of the culture of the world looks like. I want to see it up front. I want to see it face to face. So we were a couple of hours from there, and we went down to the local smoothie shop, and we stopped in there. And the lady that was behind, young lady that was behind the counter, she helped us, and she did not look like a normal girl. She had multiple tattoos around her neck and under her chin. There were so many different kinds of rings in her ears. In fact, she had one of those earrings that expanded and actually caused a huge gaping hole in the earlobe. And not only that, there was things that were placed. She looked like a disco ball in her face. And she's waiting on us. And she says, may I help you? And I said, yes. I said, we want to get a couple of smoothies. And we'd like to go down to Hollywood, California. Here's what she said. You want to go to Hollywood? There's some very, very weird people down there. Okay. All right. That was my introduction to Hollywood. So we got on the road, and I said, we got a couple hours, Jonathan, let's head on down there. And we went on down, and the first thing that I noticed when we got on Hollywood Boulevard, when we put down the windows, there's a smell, and I don't want to be in any way inappropriate behind the pulpit, but it was just the reality of it, the smell of horrible urine. Nasty urine, and the smell of old booze. And I looked around and I saw people basically strung out on all kinds of drugs, people looking up in the sky and their heads moving, and people dressed in all kinds of strange, wacko costumes, and people coming here and coming there and dressing all kinds of ways. And as I drove down, my son was basically shell-shocked, coming from the Midwest, looking at this. We were just both of us looking at this is what drives the culture of the world. And I, of course, I've heard it when I was a kid that there's on the sidewalk these very, very important stars that people have and in their memory, and they're able to get that placed in concrete on this sidewalk, and people are able to be remembered for the great things that they accomplish in their lifetime by having a star in this concrete. And I thought about that as I glanced and saw different names of different, if you would, stars, as people trampled over their names. Beer-soaked, urine-smelling town. And I thought of Marilyn Monroe. I thought about
all of those that had that notoriety. And after all of their manicures and their styles and fashions and pedicures and hairdos and hair don'ts and film shoots and autographs and applauses and pleasures and movies and accolades and fame and drugs and misery and tabloids and booze and parties and antidepressants and sun and fun and music and dancing and gambling and all of that, they get to be a tarnished star on a dirty, cracked sidewalk in Hollywood, California. Can anyone ask, where are we going? Can anyone up there tell me where this goes? I don't mean to be one that just goes against the cycle here, but I just want to know, can someone look down the road and warn us? And the answer is yes. The warning was given in Matthew chapter 7. The Lord Jesus Christ mentioned that there's a broad way, and that broad way has one destination. The destination is destruction. And if you're on the broad way this morning, you've never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, can we ask you this one question or say something? Get off the road. That road is a road of destruction. That road is going nowhere. That road is going to hell. The Lord Jesus Christ says there is an alternative. You don't have to stay on that road. That's why it makes it simple. Not all roads lead to God, as Joel Osteen and others have made mention of. There's only one road, by the way, that goes to heaven, and you can't take the wrong way and get to heaven. There's only one way. And it's amazing as you look through this and you see what the Lord warns here and the encouragement that he gives when he says that the straight gate, verse number 14, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, I thought about this. It says many are on the broad way, few are on the narrow way. My question, why? If more people are going to hell than going to heaven, why not more people get off the broad way and get on the narrow way, follow Christ and come to know Christ as Savior? Why not? I think it's very simple. I think it's probably just condensed into a couple of questions. I think it's simply this. They don't want to believe what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Very simple. Number two, I think it's caused by the art of mass deception. Mass deception. I was in the Holocaust Museum in Israel, and we had about an hour and a half to get through that entire museum. And I like to read. I like to read everything, and it was just not possible. So we're basically, my wife and I are running through this and trying to find some nuggets and find some things. I want to just enrich and understand this. And I walked into a small room, and in that room, on that museum, it was a large, if you would, overview of Auschwitz. And it shows where the Jews would be unloaded from the buses, and they would be marched down a small corridor, and it showed where how it all worked, and how they would go into the gas chambers, and how the Nazi soldiers would open up a canister after the door was securely locked and sealed behind them, and hundreds of Jews would be in basically a chamber that these soldiers on the top would open up a small hole and drop down gas and close it up, and a few minutes later there would just be nothing but bodies. There's a small plaque on the designer of how this would work. I looked down and I saw the plaque, and here's what his whole premise was, and his name escapes me now, but the premise was this: that we must keep the people in total deception until the last possible moment. So to do that, they would have bands playing when the people would come off the trains, violins playing music when they got off the trains, nice elegant music, and soldiers would be out there. Yes, they would have their weapons, but they would talk nice, they would speak to the Jews nice, and they would lead them down these corridors, and they would have no reason to think that they're being led to their very death, because they were in, if you would, a shroud of deception. And I believe this morning, I believe there's room to, I think, believe that there's people heading to hell and heading on the broad way that don't know where they're going, and they haven't asked some questions about where they're going, but they're just being deceived about the direction. Oh, listen, we're living in deception. We're living in a time where the country that we've been born in has been given basically an appetite for deception. It's been given an appetite for more lies and more deception. And when you come with the absolutes of God's word to what people are going into and tell them, this is the Bible, this is the word of God, it tells you that where you're going is going to hell, don't go there. You, how dare you tell me that what I'm doing where I'm going is wrong. There are only two possible directions that people take. There are only two possible destinations, heaven or hell. And there are only two possible decisions that you can make. And Jesus offers, he offers life. He offers a way out. He offers an exit sign. He offers all of those that are on the broad way a way to get to the narrow way, and that's through Jesus Christ. You realize the broad way? There's a group think, I call it, collectivism. And when people start really asking questions about the direction and where they're going, any reasonable person would say, that's dangerous. Any reasonable person, this is dangerous. And he offers this narrow gate. And he says, few there be that go in thereat. Just a few. Just a few. But there's room for all. Room for all. You realize that there are more people going to hell than going to heaven, but there is plenty of room on the narrow way. Say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. No, but the Lord does. Pastor, you don't know my past. I know, but the Lord does. And he can forgive you. My testimony here, I have shared this with you. My life was not consistent. It was a life of debauchery, pain. I sat on a bar stool with my second cousin, Richie, not only 4 or 5 months before I walked in the back doors of this church. Richie was a good kid. Richie was quiet. And we were playing a game that encouraged more drinking. And I remember the night that it happened, we were all there and saying, drink, Richie, drink, Richie, drink, Richie. And we're all encouraging to drink as we all were doing the same thing. Richie stumbles out of the bar that night and he goes to his car and gets behind the wheel of his car and heads home. All of us did. I'm very ashamed of what I've done. Well, On the way home, he was pulled over by a police officer and given a DUI. He was then escorted from there to his home, where he lived with his grandfather. He went into his room, and Richie took a .38 and took his life that night. Oh, we had the funeral and a lot of tears and people crying and friends gathered in the back of the funeral home and saying, well, Richie is a little star now in heaven and he's twinkling and boy, he's doing good. And I'm thinking to myself, no, that ain't right. That ain't right. I know better than that. The next week, preacher, after the funeral and all the friends regathered at the same bar, Richie's seat was empty. And I remember sitting there and thinking to myself, that boy is gone. That boy's in hell. And he's never going to come back here. And I looked around and I saw all my other friends. And you know what they were doing? Listen to this. Drink, Johnny, drink. Drink, Joey, drink. Drink, Walt. Drink. And I thought to myself, these people don't care a bit about me. Not a bit. I walked into the back doors of this church here. I was so ashamed. My life was a mess. Prodigal son. I'd never been surrounded by more love in all my life than when I walked in those doors. When I surrendered to preach, preacher had me up here at the front, and I remember many of you, and many may have already gone to be with the Lord, but they came by and took my hand, looked me in the eyes, and says, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you. One after the other. And I thought to myself, as all that happened, I'm sitting here stunned, thinking to myself, man, this is my family. These people do care and love. But the greatest preacher that ever lived warned. Broad is the way. Leads to destruction. Many are going that way. But I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Come over to the narrow way. It's open. It's open. And there in Matthew chapter number 7, I thought about how the Lord Jesus Christ condensed everything down just to a couple of ways that people take. And as God's people, we ought to thank God that we got off the road. Got off the road. We ought to thank God for the preacher that preached to us. Get us off that road. We ought to thank God for the mom or the dad that waved their hands in front of our face and said, don't do this, don't go this way. We ought to thank God for that. We ought to be full of gratitude that a door was open and the Lord Jesus Christ has come. But everyone's going this way, I know, but this is just a small way. It's a narrow way. I'll come. Okay, Lord. You realize this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ has promised some great blessings to those that come to him. See, we're looking for a king, and the king is coming. And when the king comes, there's a kingdom that's coming, and we're going to be ruling and reigning with him. And we're going to look back one day and say, God, thank you that I was able to look down the road. As Hebrews tells us about those that had faith, listen to this. They all had one thing in common, Hebrews 11. It says, these all, I like that word all. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in this world. It's okay. So what? I look different than the world. I'm not of this world. So what? I don't act like the world. I don't drink what the world drinks. I don't smoke what the world smokes. They didn't care when I did it then. I don't listen. I don't go where they go. Because the Lord says, here's a narrow. Here's righteousness. Not self-righteousness. His righteousness. Oh, the reward is great. The reward is great. Ruling and reigning with him. What a Savior. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, you hear, you say, Pastor, if I died this morning, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm fearful that I'm on the broad way, and I've been given a summon by the Lord Jesus Christ to get off the road. Get off the road. Say, Pastor, pray for me. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up and down? Anyone at all? Anyone at all? I know we're on the radio right now, and if you're listening on the radio and you're on the broad way right now, the Lord Jesus Christ has come. You come to him through and by faith in him and who he says he was. Believing that you're a sinner, believing because of sin you'd have to die and go to hell, and believing that Jesus Christ died for your sin, and coming to him and confessing and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. Many are here this morning, perhaps with a prodigal son and prodigal daughter. You say, Pastor, I'd like to pray for them today. Would you slip your hand up and down? They're on the broad way, and I pray that God would shake them out of that and wake them up. Say, Pastor, pray for my son and daughter. Would you slip your hand up and down, anyone at all? Loved ones and friends we're praying for, God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. That hurts. That's a painful, painful prayer request. Lord, pray for them. Father, you're so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for the warning in Matthew chapter 7. You've given us, Lord, precious promises, Lord, that will never fail. You never lied. We thank you, Lord, that we've been delivered by your power from the power of darkness. You've been so good to us, Lord, to call us off the broad way. I pray you'd bless, Lord, these that are here. I pray you'd help us to pray for one another, Lord, as each one of us have loved ones and friends, Lord, on their way to destruction. We just pray that they would get saved. I pray you give us grace. Help us, Lord, to share Christ with this lost and dying world.